Turning chapter 7. At the end of chapter 6, the author of it clarified the concept of tshuva tata heitata.
Yes.
Okay, with this idea of breaking through the sitra achra and taking the lower hay that we've caused to go into gullus, which means the divine presence, to get it out of gullus. So now he's going to continue on this and say that there's generally two ways to go about redeeming the divine presence from exile. And these are here in this chapter. We'll probably get through the first one today, maybe a little bit of the second way. So now the true and straight way to the lower level of tshuva. We're not talking higher level. This is still baseline tshuva. And he says two ways. You have the true way and you have the straight way. The true way is going to be based on Rachmanis. Emes refers to is Midas Yaakov Avinu.
Okay.
Yitz Avraham is kindness. Yitzchak is Gevura, severity, and Yaakov is Teferis, which is Emes. Okay? As it says, Titen Emes li Yaakov. Truth was given to Yaakov. Okay? So the way of Rachmanis is Yaakov is referred to as Bria Hatikon. In the Mishkan, in the desert, there were three crossbars. There were two that went outside, one on top, one on the bottom, and there was one that went through the middle that went all the way through. Yeah. The top one was corresponding to Avraham, the bottom one to Yitzchak, and the middle one to Yaakov. Oh. Because truth doesn't stop. Truth goes through and through. Okay? Yeah. So that's Emes. Yashur is, I saw in some of the books looking around, corresponds to Yisoid more. We'll talk about this when we get to there. And is the Mida of Yisoid is one of the least discussed attributes in Chassidus, and in the Kabbalah for that matter as well. Okay. The translation of Yisoid is foundation, but that doesn't mean anything. Just like beauty doesn't mean anything when you say Teferis. That's the word does. So Yisoid would be more of a translation. A proper translation would be preparedness. Okay? Meaning to say that we've got it just ready to go. And the actual going is Malchus. Before you're going to say something, you've got what it is and how you're saying it and what intonation you're going to use and what verbiage you're going to use is already just at the tip of your tongue, ready to come out of your mouth. So that right there is Yisoid. When you open up your mouth and start speaking, that's Malchus.
Interesting. Okay.
You can understand that, for example, where is it that you have an expression of Yisoid? Because saying expression in Yisoid is sort of like an oxymoron, because Yisoid is prepared. It's not expressing, it's prepared. You may notice the way people talk into their voice message.
Yeah.
Hello, you have reached such and such and such and such. After the tone. People don't talk like that. Why are they talking like that? Is because in order for you to talk, you need to have somebody to talk to. And a person talking into a recorder is not talking to anybody. So therefore, they're missing that final step of Malchus. And what's being expressed right there at that point really is just Yisod.
Interesting.
Okay? I know when I'm doing my radio show, for example, when I'm doing my monologue, I have to look at my board up through the glass and actually talk to him. He's not paying attention to me at all. I mean, he's doing whatever he's doing, but I'm looking straight at him so that I'm talking to him.
To him. And have...
I'd ask him sometimes, what do you think about that? He'd say something like, I'm sorry I wasn't listening. But just to get it to sound like a natural conversant
as talk. Though you were having dialogue.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, because otherwise it's very hard. Otherwise I'm going to have this monologue that's going to be in a monotone.
Right.
And it's not going to sound normal.
Right.
So...
Interesting. Okay.
So that's Yashur. Gehem-based dvarim derech klal. So one way is to do the MS way, which is the first way he's going to talk about. Right. And the other way is the Yashur way, which is going to be talked about on the next page.
Okay.
Ha'alev, the first way is le'er harachamim el yoinim, ha'makar harachamim al nishmasai, v'nafshar alakis. The first way is to arouse supernal mercy from the source of mercy on his soul, his godly soul. Okay, his neshama and his nefesh elikis. To stop right here, you may have noticed that in the Machzer, it says, when we say Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, when we refer to Hashem and Rachmanis, we say usually Av HaRachamon, but then by Mincha time specifically, on Shabbos, we change it to a little asterisk that says, if it's Shabbos, you say Av HaRachamim.
Yes, okay.
I don't know if you recall that.
Okay.
You can take a look, go home and take a look at your Machzer, or maybe you'll remember it next year, maybe. So, there is a difference. Okay, this expression, Memakar HaRachamim, used to be, way back when, that when you would write a letter to the Rebbe, so you would write, you would address it, L'kvei Kedushas Admor Shlita, addressing it to the Rebbe, Ana L'Ura Rachamim Rachamim, Rachamim Rabim, I'm sending this in order to arouse abundant mercy, Memakar HaRachamim, from the source of Rachamim, Bavuri, for my sake, and you list your name.
Right.
Okay. So one time it happened that someone sent the Rebbe something. This was standard. This is the way I was taught.
Right.
Okay. 1976, you wrote a letter to the Rebbe. That's the way you wrote it. You put in Mamakar Rachamim. Sometime around the 1980s, somebody handed the Rebbe a letter. And the Rebbe, I don't know, maybe he looked at it right away or whatever. And he said, Mamakar HaRachamim, I don't need an address. Don't tell me where I'm supposed to be getting the Rachmanis from you, for you. Okay, so it says it, maybe it's not. Maybe I'm going to get it from higher than Makar Arachamim. You know, so don't give me an address.
Don't limit me. Don't limit me. Yes.
Okay, so from that time on, the address was Le'er Arachamim Rabim Bavuri, to arouse great mercy on my sake, for my sake.
Wow.
Okay. Now, Makar Arachamim is not bad.
No. No.
The source of mercy. You got mercy. And you have the source of mercy.
Right.
Okay. The source of mercy is in Pnimius of Kesser.
Yeah.
Okay. Because you think, where is it that tshuva is going to affect? This is what we're talking about. This is what we're talking about. Why is it that tshuva is such a powerful tool? Is because when a person is doing tshuva, when they're doing this tashuvah business, where are they tapping into? Is this level of elokus, we mentioned this before a couple times already, this level of elokus is godliness, which is higher than where the sin
reached. Right. Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So, what happens when a person does a transgress, when a person transgresses a mitzvah, so there's a punishment involved. Okay, not that we say that I'm not one that believes that God punishes, because that's a different excuse, a different topic.
Yeah.
Okay? There are negative repercussions when a person does something wrong.
Correct.
Where is that coming from? That's coming from Shem Elokim. Shem Elokim.
Yep.
Elokim means judge.
Yep.
And what do judges do? The judges say, you get this and you get that.
That's it.
Okay? This person did this wrong, he's going to get this.
Right.
Okay? Here now, so in order to circumvent that judgment coming from Shem Elokim, you have to go to Shem Hashem, which is higher. Okay, now, Shem Hashem also gets, Yud Kei Vav Kei, also gets affected by the persons doing a transgression, because after all, we refer to them as not Mitzvah Elokim.
Right.
We refer to them as Mitzvah Hashem.
Yes, correct.
Okay, Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemar, Deber Ben Yisrael, V'lamar Lehem, that they should do this and this and this and this.
Right.
So where is this Mitzvah coming from? This Mitzvah is an expression of Shem Hashem.
Right.
Okay, so it's not enough to even tap in from there. If you want to bypass any type of repercussion through doing tshuva,
you gotta get it higher.
So then you have to even go higher than that.
Yeah.
That's the level of Baal HaRachamim, specifically, not Baal HaRachamon, or Av HaRachamon, because Rachamon is in Chochmah. That's already within the guise of the creation process of Seder Yistalshlus.
Okay.
Rachamim bypasses the whole Seder. In order to negate any type of negative repercussion, so you really have to bypass the whole creation process.
Right.
Okay? And remember again, I was just saying, and to reiterate, this is called tshuva tata.
This is a lower level.
This is the lower level we're talking about. Okay? People who don't understand Hasidus just haven't got a clue as to what it could very well be.
They're suffering in their life.
Yeah. But the thing is also is they think I did tshuva, because according to the Rambam, tshuva is I didn't do it till I'm not doing it anymore, and I didn't do I'm sorry what I did till now, and I'm not doing it anymore. A plus according to the Rambam. But that's from what we learned about getting back on Hashem's good side and correcting it and removing any type of blemish. That's not necessarily going to do it.
Right.
That's why I have to get the next step. So Baruch Hashem, we don't do the fasting and stuff like that, which he's going to talk about on the next page. So he says you have to have Rachmanis on your soul. Okay, that's very easy. Because when a person looks at their situation, the environment in which they find themselves, why is it that a person did something wrong? Is because they found themselves in an environment which facilitated doing something wrong.
Yes.
Okay? I can always give the example about talking during davening. Yeah. Okay?
Yeah.
Which is one of those innocuous things that everybody does. Let's say you're the only one in the room. Mm. You're not going to be talking during davening.
No.
Okay. It's not going to be a minion either, but, you know. And if, for example, you're in a room such that you're with nine other people and none of them have any interest in talking to you.
Right.
So you're not going to talk during davening there either.
Right.
Okay. So it's only because you find yourself in an environment where there's someone else who wants to talk to you that you are talking during davening.
Yes.
And that's true with every single transgression, 365 prohibitions. Okay, how is it that anybody could possibly do them is because Hashem put them in an environment
where it's possible.
Where it's possible for them to be done.
Right.
Okay, and in order for that to happen, now that's called a nafala, that's a nafala. Because where is it? The soul starts where? The stars, he says, Me'igur Ram Shanafla, Me'igur Ram Chaya Chaim Baruchu Labira Mikta. Hein Hecholos Atumah Zitra Achra. The neshama starts out where? This is why you have to have Rachmanis on your soul. If you think about where your son neshama comes up, before the neshama comes into a body, and it gets limited by a body and a nefesh bahamas with its yetzahara, so the neshama is a pristine entity.
Hmm.
It does not have the ability of doing anything wrong.
Right.
It is totally and completely mizdavik belakus. It's cleaving to God, always basking in the ray of the divinity, always. And that's the starting out point. Now what happens is it gets thrown into, he says, that's the Igra Rama, the highest of heights.
Hmm.
And then it gets thrown into this world. But this world is called the lowest of pits. Because in this world is the vast majority receiving its life force through the realm of Klippa.
Yeah.
Okay. There are very few things in the world that we would say are intrinsically holy.
Right.
So therefore, every and you're talking, I couldn't put a percentage on it, but you're talking high 99%, okay, of the world is receiving its nurture through Klippa of some degree.
Right.
And so now, since it is that the neshama, which was just like, hey, I'm cool, this is great, I'm basking in divinity, I got nothing to worry about.
Yeah.
And then to get thrown into this environment, should say, boy, this thing
really Oops, needs, there go.
this really needs some Rachmanis over here. We have to really cut our neshama some slack, because look, it's you know, it doesn't want to be here.
Right.
It says in the Mishnah, you are forced to come to live in this world. Mm. Okay? And what's worse is Bal Karchachata Mace. Once you hear, you get really used to it.
Yeah.
You say, wow, I don't want to leave.
And why you think then you're forced to leave.
Why is it that I don't want to leave? Because it's very comfortable.
I'm
enjoying myself over here. And then we have the paradigm of Avraham Lipsker with a 2-year-old in the diaper that he doesn't want to give up.
Mm.
Okay, it's also
indeed,
comfortable.
Yes.
Okay, the fact that it smells to high whatever, and you know, that doesn't bother me. I don't smell a thing.
What is happening?
You know, but it's warm, it's squishy, it's comfortable.
Yes.
Okay, so we live in a warm, squishy, comfortable, smelly environment, and we don't want to leave. Okay, and we have to have a Rachmanis. It says that's the beginning of tshuva. is when a person recognizes what their neshama has gone through. Okay, so this is the beginning of the Rachmanis Prayer. It's a very weird thing, too. Because when you think about it, when a person does something wrong, say they transgressed a commandment of Hashem, and what is the first step in the process that a person has to begin is to have first an expression of compassion on themselves. Start thinking about yourself first, okay? Because when, and why does that make any sense, is because if you're going to start right away with your relationship with Hashem, you can't jump on a roof. You have to work your way up. You have to have something that you can relate to. The easiest thing for me to relate to is me. Mm. Okay? Especially since I love myself so much. Indeed, you know, when it says, V'ahavta l'reacha kamocha, I got a big mocha over there.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, you know, so I got lots to do when I got when I have to relate to the reachas, because my, you know, my kamocha is, you know, but so since it is I can relate to myself so much and just give a little bit of thought what has to happen to my neshama to be able to do something wrong, to realize that I really need to have rachmanis on my own neshama. Okay, at this point you can get into the dichotomy feeling of who's doing the thinking over here. Because am I my nefesh or Bahamas? Am I my nefesh or Lakis?
Right.
So at, you could say it's your nefesh or Bahamas doing it, but it doesn't really matter what label you're putting on it. Yeah. As long as you're doing it.
As long as you get there. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
That's the first thing. And to understand, I mean, a person really has to be on guard. I mean, it is the best way to do, the best defense is a good offense.
Right.
Okay. So the best way to not have to worry about what if you did something wrong is keep doing things right.
Yeah, be busy doing what's right.
Yes. Okay. And for that a person has to be on guard and understand that anytime a person's put in a position where they can be doing something wrong, to stop a half a second and say, wait a minute, I'm in a situation where I could be doing something wrong right now. And then realize that and not do it.
Right.
Because the whole reason why you're in that situation is because God wants to give you the free choice not to do it.
Right.
You're not in that situation to do it.
Right.
You're in that situation not to do
it.
Correct. So if you're gonna stop a half a second, and you know the 5 seconds to holiness rule, you know, do I need to do this? You know, spend 5 seconds thinking about it. So the if a person is focused on that and has it just all you have to do is like a half a step ahead of the Yetzirah. Okay, now when you're trying to get a half a step ahead of your Yetzirah is trying to get half a step ahead of you.
Yeah, 10 so steps it's
this,
ahead of you.
Yeah, it's just this constant thing going on, and I it's just like, well, I realize what that is.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
And I'd like to say that's all.
Yeah, sure. That's all it takes. But we're good. We're done.
It starts when the alarm clock goes off, and you can choose to hit the snooze button, and you take it from there.
Yeah.
And it's. Until you're 120.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. Is to have Rachmanis on himself. And then, V'almakaroi b'makar hachayim. And then to have Rachmanis on its source, the source of the soul, which is the source of life, Hushem Havaya Baruch Hu, which is the name of Hashem. As it says, V'yashav al Hashem v'yirachamehu. Return to Hashem and He will have mercy upon you. This already is the next step down. Because when he first talked about Mamakar Harachamim, that's the source of the from where everything's coming from. That's in Pinimius Akeser, that's the internal will of Hashem. This that he's talking about over here when he says, and also to have Rachmanis on Hashem. That's where the source of the Neshama is coming from. That's the Neshama as it's already invested in Seder Istalshels in the creation process. We can say essentially everybody's soul is a chelik elokai memal. However high up you want to talk about, Yeah, that's how the soul, that's where the soul comes from. But then, as the creation process develops, the soul passes through that as well. And the tzimtzumim that are happening to the create, to make a creation, are happening to the neshama as well.
Right.
Okay, so when we talk about a source of someone's neshama, that, we talked about this way back in chapter 2, Atanya, that when you're talking about the sources of the neshama, like a source of, like a Moshe Rabbeinu, okay, there's a neshama of Atzilus, and it's had a comprehension of Netzach and Hodes, and it comes to Mislavish and Techachma, all kinds of good fancy jargon over there. That's because Moshe's soul didn't go through the processing before it jumped in.
Right.
Whereas our souls, and this is even the Alter Rebbe writing it in his time, 200 years and change ago,
right.
Okay, and there's something called Yeridus Adaris in every generation, so we've gone through seven generations since then in our descent of our neshamais. So what he referred to as his generation as the heels of Mashiach, we are the floor right next to Mashiach coming at this point, you know, so because and the thing about a heel, if you're talking about the calluses on the heel is one of the least sensitive parts of the body.
Right.
When we're talking sensitive to spirituality.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, during the times of Tanoim, people would die when they wanted to do something wrong. Oh, I think I'm going to do that thing wrong. They would die. They would fall over dead. Yeah. Okay. And because they were more spiritually attuned.
Right.
And our generation, that doesn't happen.
Not even remotely.
Okay. And it makes it worse. Is that our definition of Rosh HaGomer that he gave back in chapter 11 of Tanya, is that a person does something wrong, he doesn't feel bad about it.
Right.
Why is it that the person doesn't feel bad about it? It's because they're not sensitive to the disconnect, to the breach in spirituality. Okay? And that's why he says, this is also discussed in the Elul Maimer of Ani L'Doidi, that a person has to feel their connection to Hashem. And when a person feels that there's a disconnect, they don't feel the connection anymore, then they're going to feel like they have to have Rachmanis on themselves. Okay, but you have to feel the connection. Okay, so this then is going to depend on where the person's soul is manifest in Seder Istalshus. But because it's called a godly soul, so it definitely has a connection to Hashem on whatever level it is manifest. Even the lowest level of Malchus of Asiya Ruchnius, the bottom, still maintains an intrinsic connection with
Hashem.
And therefore he has to have Rachmanis on that connection, that bit of godliness in which he's privileged to, that he schlepped him down into it. Because remember, we gave the example for two chapters, we're giving an example of our connection to Hashem is like a rope.
Right.
When a person does something wrong, so he's schlepping the rope and pulling down. So the connection to Hashem, which is an eternal connection, now gets schlepped into schmutz. So that's what he says. To return the lower hay is to have Rachmanis on yourself, have Rachmanis on Hashem. Now, pirush, meaning to do what? That's all very good jargon. La'ir rachmim al hashpos shem havaya baruch hu shenistal shu v'yardu teich haichalos esetracher ha'tameim la'ach yoysim It's a long sentence. Meaning, to arouse compassion on this godly influence that's gone through the process and descended into the chambers of the forces of evil, which are totally impure, which enlivens them. Because what's everything? Hashem enlivens everything. Hashem enlivens evil. Hashem enlivens anything and everything in the creation.
Just only everything.
And the forces of evil get their kayach through the deeds of man and his schemes, umachshavas harois, and his bad thoughts. Okay, interesting thing. He doesn't put in the word dibur over here. Okay, he says maisa and machshava. He doesn't put in dibur. It says there's an interesting thing. You may be familiar with the book of Proverbs.
Yes.
Mishlei.
Yes.
There's one part of the book of Mishlei, like right toward the beginning, that made it into the top 10 a couple of times. There is a time, there, for every season there is a, you know, et cetera, a time to repose from doing, a time to speak. A time to be quiet.
Right.
It doesn't say over there anything about a time to think, a time not to think. Yeah. Because there is no time not to think.
Right. Okay? Right.
I use the line all the time. It's a very funny line. Sometimes I stop to think and forget to start. Okay, so
had that problem all my life.
But the other expression I grew up with was: "Is sometimes I sit and think, and sometimes I just sit." Okay, so the when it comes to speech and thought, it's basically the same deal, because you can really choose. It's very easy for you to choose not to say something.
Yeah.
To close it, bloom picha miladaber, to shut your mouth from speaking. Mm. Okay? That's why Hashem gave us lips. And it's really easy. You're going to bite your tongue, whatever it is that you have to do.
Right.
You want to say it, you don't say it, Baruch Hashem.
Mm.
Okay? And it's pretty much the same thing with doing and not doing.
That's true.
Okay, if a person has told themselves, this is wrong.
Right.
They're not going to do it. Okay, so then it's an amazing thing that I have various food allergies.
Mm.
Okay, and one of the things that I am allergic to is almonds.
Mm. Okay. Really?
Yes.
Wow.
So anything that has almonds in it, all you have to just tell me, oh, it's got almonds in it.
Mm.
And I have no desire at all to even think about putting it into my mouth.
Okay.
If I pick up a cookie and I say, is there any almonds in this? And you say, no, it's okay. I'm just going, okay, I want to stuff them all into my mouth. You tell them, oh, it's got almonds in it. No, it's treif.
Yeah.
Okay? So if you can take it one step further, not that I'm saying there's anything wrong with eating cookies per se,
but
if you could tell yourself, this cookie is something that you're not supposed to be eating right now.
Right. Yeah.
Then you're not going to have problems eating it. You're just not going to eat it.
Right.
Okay. So, but when it comes to thinking, okay, so the Alter Rebbe gives all kinds of advice. Push the thought out with two hands. Okay. Yell stop at yourself.
Hmm.
Okay. There you are. You're walking down the street. The thought enters into your mind, not you specifically. And all you have to do at that point is you just realize and say, I really don't want to be thinking about that thought right now. And you just tell yourself, stop thinking that.
Right.
Stop. Just stop.
Right.
Okay? And that does happen. But that doesn't mean you stop thinking. You just keep going. You're just going.
Right.
Keeps going and going and going. Okay? The famous story with the Baal Shem Tov, that somebody came to him and complained that he is plagued with machshava zaras, which would be translated as foreign thoughts.
Yes.
And the Baal Shem Tov said to him, what are you talking about, machshava zaras? They're right at home. They're not foreign at all.
Yeah, really.
Those are your thoughts. What are you talking about, foreign? Okay. It says, so, but that's where, that's like the study, and it says, thinking in some ways is much worse than doing.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. If it's raining outside, and your raincoat is wet, it's like, no big deal.
Right.
But if it's raining outside and your undershirt is wet,
yeah,
you're not comfortable.
Right, correct.
Okay. The undershirt, and now to get that way, it had to go all the way through. Understood. But that's what's the big deal is because the undershirt's like right next to you.
Right.
So then the thought is right on top of the essence of the soul.
Mm.
It's the first way in which the soul expresses itself. That's
right.
Why it doesn't stop.
Right.
There's no off button to your thoughts.
Mm.
Okay. Because that would essentially say that the essence of the soul has to stop expressing itself.
Right.
And the essence of the soul can't stop expressing itself. It has to be continually engaged. Okay. So thought and speech and action. So those are jumbled together. You can you can include speech and part is Maisa Enish v'tach b'lois of man's actions and his tricks or his schemes, but thinking is a whole other system. Okay, but the person shouldn't think, well, listen, I only thought about it, I didn't do it. Okay, good.
Yeah.
There is no punishment for thinking about doing something wrong.
Right.
Okay? But you're not going to get Asher Koyach for it either.
Yeah, right.
Okay? So, because Hashem gave us, this is the whole point of chapter, the first 52, 53 chapters of the Tanya.
Right.
Is to get the person to stop thinking what he shouldn't be thinking.
Right.
That's basically what 53 chapters of Tanya is for. Okay. Like a king who is fettered in iron chains around his head. That we define as the exile of the divine presence. And who is causing this exile of the divine presence? The one to whom the divine presence is attached and is schlepping it down into the muck. Okay, so there now the person has to have Rachmanis on it. And he says, Uzmana Masugal is the best absolute time to arouse compassion on your soul and on the divine presence is Batikin Chatzais. Is in the middle of the night to get up and to sit on the floor with ashes on your head and to mourn the destruction of the temple. And since you're in a mournful mood anyway, that you're mourning the destruction of the temple, so you can mourn the fact that the reason why the temple is destroyed is because the Shekhinah is in exile, and were the Shekhinah not in exile, then the temple would automatically come about and come into existence, as is explained in this Siddur Bahar Ayin Shambora, and you could look over there at great length, and we don't do Tikkun Chatzos.
It's good. Works out great.
Right. Okay.
I'm glad we don't do that. Since it works out, that's the best time to do it. I'm glad we don't do it.
One of the major reasons why we do not do Tikkun Chatzos is because it doesn't bother us that the temple is
We're not on that level.
We talk about it. We say Lashana Haba Yerushalayim.
Oh, what a shame.
We say, you know, Mashiach should come today, you know, Bimhera B'Yameinu.
Sure.
Shiyabana Beis HaMikdash. We sing nice songs.
Right.
Okay.
But in the end, but the end run, we're still with the warm diaper going on over here. And we are more comfortable with that than the fact of what we don't know what we're missing. And that really is the problem, is because we are so insensitive, we've been so desensitized that we don't know what a world with a Beis HaMikdash, with a Gilui HaShekhinah, with Karbanos, with all the prophecies that are mentioned in all of the books of the prophets, to us that's all out there. And it's a nice point of reference.
It's almost fairy tales.
But, and even for people who really truly believe it's going to happen, when is Mashiach going to come? Mashiach is going to come today. Okay? Yes. So Mashiach is going to come today. And the word believe is the key word over there. Because we know belief, by definition, amuna, is superficial.
Yes.
Okay. The greatest, the profession with the greatest amuna is the thief.
Hello.
Yeah. Okay. And this is a person who really believes, he's davening to Hashem, please don't let me get caught.
Right.
Okay, I heard a really cute story.
Yes.
It involves Meir of Premishlam. As I told the story on my radio show, I think.
Okay.
Or on something, it's a Hanukkah, it's a Yom Kippur story.
Okay.
That Erev Yom Kippur, the night before Yom Kippur, the Meir of Premishlam would stand by his window and people would pass by and he would give them a bracha for the year.
Okay,
so now, Premishlam was a depressed place. There was no money. There was no economy. And there were people that resorted to being thieves.
Mm.
Okay. And one of the best thieves in Premishlam was a gentleman by the name of Fivel Ganef. Okay. So he's thinking to himself, it's not fair. Everybody gets a bracha from the Rebbe for Parnassa. And I don't get a bracha from the Rebbe for my Parnassa.
Perfect.
So he says, what am I going to do? He says, when the Rebbe is not looking, I'm going to sneak up on the side, and I'm going to ask him for a bracha for my Parnassa too. Okay, so he saw the Rebbe was looking the other way, so he came from the flank up on his blind side and said, Rebbe, give me a bracha for Parnassa. And without turning around, the Rebbe said, a mayor should give Fivel the Ganef a bracha for Parnassa. So he said to him back, Rebbe, this is a really smart Ganef. He said, Rebbe, there are going to be people that during the course of this year will have a gezera min hashamayim, that they're supposed to have things stolen from it. And if it should be that there are people who have a gezera that they have things stolen from them, let me be the one to steal it from them. Oh. So he said, amen.
Ow.
So he said, amen.
Amen. Oh, no. Ow.
What did he say? Where's my pen?
Ow.
Where's the silverware?
No, that was a later story with Levi Yitzchak Bar Dichter, but he said, where's the silver?
Where's the silver?
The Marx brothers didn't get it from nowhere.
Oh, wow. That's horrible.
So, that's horrible. So what my point over here is, Amuna is, so this person believed in Hashem. He wanted a bracha from the Rebbe.
Yeah, sure.
Because he believed that Hashem is going to provide him with a parnassa.
Yeah.
But through what? You know, that's what it says. The Rebbe, it talks about Maimarim from here to Wazoo, about making sure that your Kli HaParnassa, the vessel by which your Parnassa is coming in, have no trace of schmutz in them, no dents. You know, that the person's keeping Shabbos properly, and there's no gazela, there's no stealing going on,
right.
And there's no fraud, no falsification, all these different things. It's in here, okay? This Ganef was making a livelihood. Okay, why? Because he believed he could. Okay? But that's what Emuna is. Emuna is out there.
Yeah.
I believe Mashiach is coming. That's all very much out there. What do I know? I know I'm hungry.
Yeah.
Okay? Do I know Mashiach is coming? Mashiach is out there. Okay? Do I believe I'm hungry? No. I know I'm hungry.
Right, there's a difference.
Okay, and therefore I'm going to put this into my face. Okay, and I'm not going to be so willing to give it up. Okay?
Yeah.
So, instead of doing it, it's recommended that instead of waking up in the middle of the night, which is going to kill your whole day anyway, and sitting there mourning for the destruction of the temple, which you don't really believe anyway, then the next best time, which he doesn't say over here, is Kriya Shema Lamita.
Yeah.
Before a person goes to sleep, should take a look at his day, see what was accomplished during the day, what could have been done better, what should be done better tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay? And to understand, well, why is it that I didn't do better today? If I could do better tomorrow, why didn't I do better today? Because when a person understands that, then tomorrow will be taka better. Okay? And we're not talking about quantum leaps.
No.
Okay. Today I couldn't jump on a roof. Tomorrow I'm going to jump on the roof. No.
No. Millimeters.
No. Yeah. Millimeters.
Millimeters.
Okay. Today I got to this far. Tomorrow I'm getting up to this far.
Right.
Okay. Just so long as tomorrow is better than today, and today is better than yesterday.
Yeah.
Swell.
Yeah.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
A+.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Huge.
There's a.
Huge.
There's a cartoon in New Yorker magazine a couple of weeks ago, last week, the week before. It's a snail and a horse, and they're at a starting line in a race, and the horse is looking at the horse at the snail.
Yeah, the snail, right?
Yeah, thinking ha ha, you know. Right. And the snail, the cash underneath reads, "This race is straight up a window."
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
Okay, so. So
there you go.
You don't have to be a Mustang. You know,
nope.
Snail's pace is fine. You're going to be here 120 years. Yeah. That's fine.
Make sure you're suited for the job.
Exactly. V'zeshikasa v'sham nafla ateres rashena oy na lanu ki chatanu. This is also from the liturgy of Yom Kippur. Mm. Because there fell the crown of our head. Woe to us because we have sinned. Mm. The crown of our whatever is referring to Hashem, our relationship, therefore. Lachin nikra kodesh baruch hu melech aluv b'pirkei hecholos. That's why in this Sefer, which is a Musar book, Hashem is called a humiliated king. Mm. And Kamosha Kosova Ramakzal, it says in the Kabbalah, Ki ein lecha elbon gadol mizeh. And he quoted this in chapter 25 back when. It says, if you have a king, and the king comes to your house and says, I would like you to entertain me. And you take the king and you stick his head into a toilet. Even if you did it for 1 second, it's still, you stuck the head of the king in the toilet.
Right.
So when we're talking about quality of doing something wrong, there's no such thing as quality of doing something wrong. Something wrong is something wrong. And what's going to happen is, when a person is going to meditate and think about the greatness of Hashem and his connection, a little bit of godliness that you're connected to. But when he says, when you grab infinity, wherever you're grabbing it, you may be just having a little bit of infinity, but what's a little bit of infinity?
Just only
it's,
infinity.
It's infinity. So you're grabbing the entirety of infinity and it's schlepped down with you. So he says, then what's going to happen? Shuva tata. He'll be bitter very, very much. And we got up to the third line, and we will on page 370, 369, to be continued next time.